glory and for your honor. We are indeed very grateful to you for the return of the Lord's Day and the opportunity to come together to worship you. So bless our time, O Lord, as we consider your holy word. May your Holy Spirit illuminate our minds. May your Holy Spirit open not only our ears, but especially our hearts to receive your word. Please forgive us of our many sins. Cleanse us. Wash us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and that we be worthy servants to receive your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The voice of the Lord was spoken loud and clear, especially to Isaiah. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? I am a firm believer of God's call. I believe God speaks to us through His Word, and I believe that every believer, that is, every born-again, regenerated Christian, must listen to His voice, or for that matter, to His call every day. And that means we must read God's Word, and to hear the reading of God's Word. I'm mindful of illiterate believers in our community and the need for us who are able to read, to help them by reading to them God's Word. And I'm thankful especially to Mrs. Lim, who will take time to go to this old folks home at the Potong Pasir, you know, to read God's Word to a number of the elderly folks who are illiterate. Because I believe they too need to hear God's call. There is a general call. Call to repentance. Call to turn to Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls. Call to follow Jesus and to obey Him. Call to live a holy life. Call to love our neighbors and to do good. Call to give. Give of our resources. And a call to pray. But there are also specific calls. Call for special service. For example, in Singapore here, if you are a male citizen, and you'll be called up for national service. And we cannot escape. And we must not try to escape. If not, we'll end up with serious consequences. We are punishable by law if we try to escape from national service. We have to obey orders as good citizens of our country. I believe it is the same with God's call, God's specific call. Remember how God called Jonah, but he tried to run away. And the Lord caught hold of him and sent him to where he wanted Jonah to go to, and that is to Nineveh, to preach repentance to the people and that they might repent, and to preach about God's impending judgment if they fail to repent. And just as we cannot run away from the call to do national service, Jonah could not run away from God's call to serve him. But for today, we are not going to look at the call of Jonah, but rather the call of Isaiah. And I believe this call is extended to us. And so let us listen carefully to God's call. And I have we are going to look at three main headings. the call to look at God's glory, the call to listen to God's appeal, and the call to declare God's message. Holy, holy, holy Lord of hosts, the earth is full of His glory. And these are the words of the angels. And we want to praise the Lord indeed for the ministry of angels. And these are the words, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. These are the words painted on the wall behind the pulpit of New Life Church. Can you still remember? So, in other words, whenever we enter into God's sanctuary, we must remind ourselves that we are worshiping a holy God. And before the Lord challenged Isaiah to consider God's call, the Lord gave to this prophet, Isaiah, a spectacular and a wonderful, a majestic vision of the throne of God. And it is, I must say, beyond our imagination. My wife and I, we enjoy looking at the sunrise and also the sunset. And we are always filled with awe at the spectacular sight of the beauty of God's creation. And here is another view. This is a sunrise view. Taken at the Woodlands Sports Stadium. I must say that we just only can have a glimpse. We just have a glimpse of His glory. Indeed, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of His glory. And this is especially so when we gaze upon the beauty of His creation. Those colorful birds, looking at the stars, looking at those beautiful flowers, and the variety of plants, the variety of fruits, and all the different kinds of animals and insects and the fish in the sea. The whole earth, my dear friends, is full of His glory. And as for Isaiah, his call was to look at God's glory. And he was given the vision of God's holiness. Isaiah was a great prophet, a man of God, and he lived around 700 BC, 700 years before the coming of Christ. And the Lord used this prophet, Isaiah, to predict the birth of Christ, the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he also predicted the ministry of Jesus and that of and how he will come to suffer for us the sins of humanity. And God has mightily used him to prophesy the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, you might be wondering, how he became such a great prophet? We may say that it is because of the vision that God has given to him, and at the same time, his positive and his wholehearted response to God's call. And I believe God wants us to know this vision as described here in Isaiah chapter 6. I believe God wants us to understand and at the same time to relate to this vision of Isaiah and to respond accordingly like that of Isaiah. We read in verse 1, if I may ask you to back to your scripture. This significant statement that is mentioned here. In the year that Uzziah, or King Uzziah, died. Now, we will see later why this is a significant statement and why when King Uzziah died, and we want to find out who is this king. According to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, King Uzziah was one of the greatest kings of Judah, and he reigned for 52 years. And according to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 4, he did right in the sight of the Lord. He did right in the sight of the Lord. Not just 5 years, not just 10 years, not just 30 years, but 52 years. It's a long time. And he was indeed an outstanding king after David and Solomon. The whole nation was looking up to him as the king. And he was well respected. And as it were, the country was prospering and the people were having a good time because they have a good king. And this is also true today, isn't it? If we have good leaders to rule the country will prosper and will have peace. And this is what we must continue to do as good citizens of our country, to pray for our leaders, that God will send to us good leaders, honest leaders, righteous leaders to rule the land so that we will continue to enjoy peace and prosperity. However, sadly, one day, Uzziah, though he was strong, he became proud. But there's always this possibility, even today, you know, with men. And he was not satisfied of being the king alone. And so he wanted to be a priest in the temple. And so, according to the scripture, he went to the temple of God to burn incense on the altar. And what happened was that he knew very well that what he's doing is not right, and it's going to his what he has done is only to be conducted by the priests in the temple, who are sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Now, even though according to the Bible, Azariah the priest, along with 80 other priests, withstood Uzziah. They were telling him, "Don't do it," but he disregarded them, and immediately the Lord smote him with leprosy in the forehead, and he was thrown out of the temple. And Uzziah, the king, was a leper until the day of his death, and he dwelt in a separate house. He was being a leper, and he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Oh, I believe that God will punish those who will do anything against his decree and his instructions. Now, this is the basic background of Isaiah. So now Isaiah, as a young man, from a royal line, he was an official in the Uzziah's court, and as an official in the royal court, he probably felt secure in the palace, in that he had full confidence in the king. But after the death of Uzziah, remember, in the day when Uzziah died, yes, he probably felt insecure. And it was during this time that God came and ministered to him. And he was called to a specific mission. He was made to enter into the temple of God, into the presence of the living God. Dear brothers and sisters, just like Isaiah, even today, it is possible that when we are prosperous and when we are successful, when everything seems to be so peaceful, no war, no famine, no trouble, no COVID-19 situation, it is possible that we don't even bother to seek the presence of the Lord. Yes, it is possible that we come to church week after week, but we are not moved. And we go through the motion and we become complacent. And we are even blinded by our own sinful condition. And that was most likely what happened to Isaiah, in that lukewarmness spread all over the people. And that was exactly what happened to the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, where God rebuilt the church because of their lukewarmness. Even though they were rich, but yet they were poor spiritually. But when we face problems, or when we are struck with diseases, and when all hopes fail, then we start to go into the presence of the Lord. Yes, we better do. The COVID-19 situation is God's way of humbling us. It is a reminder that we need Him. It is a reminder that that God is calling us, especially as a church, to repentance and to get right with Him before it is too late. It is God's way of telling us that material wealth is never our security. Our security is in Christ and in Christ alone. Sadly, people rush for temporal security and, of all things, toilet papers. You know what is God's call for us? James 4 verse 8 says, that is God's call for us as His people. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That is God's call. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hands. Wash your hands. More importantly, ye sinners, purify your hearts. Ye double-minded. But my dear friends, we can't always be doing that. That is, we seek Him only when we are in trouble and we seek His presence only when we are in need. It should not be that way. In fact, we should seek after Him whether in good times or in bad times. In whatever case, Isaiah saw the vision of God's majestic power. Now, Isaiah, probably with many worries in his heart, and went into the presence of God. And suddenly, his soul was taken up into heaven, and he saw that great vision. And physically, he was probably, he was in the temple, but his spirit was taken up into heaven. And God's throne is no doubt the representation of God's authority and power. And Isaiah looked at the highly exalted God and who is in full control of the universe. And yes, King Uzziah might have died, but God is in full control. Isaiah had to learn the lesson, and I believe this is a lesson we all must learn together, as in Psalm 146 verse 3 tell us, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Yes, we must not trust in our own abilities. We must not just trust in anybody, or for that matter, even our own resources or the resources of our country, but we must trust in God alone. COVID-19 is God's way of telling us that we are not in control. We are not in control. Although we must take all the necessary measures, but yet we are not in control. So we must look up to God. So dear brothers and sisters, it is important for us to remind ourselves to depend upon Him at all times. Remember what Jeremiah in 17 verse 5 says. Let me read to you. Cursed be the man that put his trust in men. We are not called to trust in any man. Although, as good citizens, we must follow all the rules, but we must put our trust in God alone. Our God is an awesome God, and He will never share His glory with anyone. And Isaiah had to learn that God's presence alone was enough to carry him through his life, and not King Uzziah. So we too must learn that God's presence alone is sufficient for us. Not our big business partner, not the prosperity of our country or the power of man, but God has all the power, my dear friends, to bring us down to our knees. So, dear friends, we must know His presence with us is far greater than anything else. And as the temple was filled with His presence during the time of Isaiah when he saw the vision, may our lives be filled with His presence, because our body is the temple of the living God. So we read here about the seraphims, the angels, and this is the only place in the Bible, I was told, in my reading, that talks about the seraphims. Each one has six wings, two wings that cover their face, then two wings to cover their feet, and two wings they did fly. Why they cover their faces, or why they cover their faces? It is because with all fear and reverence, they dare not see the holiness and the majesty of God. And as we see in Psalm 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. It's important for us to remember how we need to always come to God in reverential fear. And the Bible tells us of saints, of a number of saints, how they hid their faces with fear and reverence. Remember Abraham, how he fell on his face in Genesis 17:3. Moses, how he hid his face in Exodus 3, verse 6, and how Elijah wrapped his face with his mantle in 1 Kings 19:13. Now, why? Why did the seraphims cover their feet? I suggest to you that it is a sign of humility before the Lord. Why did they cover, or why did they fly with two wings? I suggest to you it represents that they were ready. They were ready to serve the Lord and willing to execute God's commands, as we read in Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, and excel in strength, and that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. And yes, indeed, come to Isaiah, they were coming together and they were praising God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Yes, they praise the triune God, God the Father, Jesus the Savior, and the blessed Holy Spirit, the Comforter and Guide. They praise God, yes, and the doorposts of the temple were shaken and the temple was filled with glory. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if all this of His creatures were to praise the Lord, how much more we need to glorify God together as a corporate body. And the Bible instructs us to proclaim His praises wherever we are. And our God is the one who lives in the praises of His people. And when we praise Him, He comes down with His glory in order to dwell with us and bless us. Yes, important. Well, I know that there are some of us who are not able to join us, probably because of weak health, and probably some of you are there viewing the live streaming. But never forget that we need to come together when things are better, always coming together as a corporate body to worship the Lord. And one of the reasons why sometimes we feel that God is far away, for that matter, we feel that probably we are spiritually down, I believe it's because we fail to worship God. We fail to praise Him. We fail to give thanks to Him. And we have taken Him for granted, all that He has blessed us with. And what I'm saying is this. When you are feeling down, learn to spend time to pray to Him and to praise Him. And if you don't know how to do it, just read the Psalms. Just read the Psalms. The psalmist will teach us how to praise the Lord. But my dear friends, I must tell you one thing. That is, unless you know God, unless you know this God, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, you won't know how to glorify Him. So it is important, my dear friends, you must ask yourself, do you really have Jesus Christ in your heart? We read further, the assurance of God's for forgiveness. And we see here the vision of His own sinfulness expressed here. After Isaiah seen the vision of the highly exalted God, our Lord Jesus Christ, he cried out, "Woe unto me! Woe unto me!" Because he was a sinner. And he saw the vision of his own sinfulness when he saw the glory of God. And he cried out, "I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." The King, not King Uzziah, but the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Lord Almighty, who is seated on the throne, high and mighty. Dearly beloved, when we have a proper vision of our Almighty God and of His holiness, then only will we come to know that we are sinful. We'll see the sinfulness, our unworthiness, and how useless we are. We may have many things to boast about ourselves, but my friends, when we look into the holiness of God, we could only say together with Isaiah, there's another Bible verse which I did not put on the PowerPoint, it's Isaiah 64 verse 6, where Isaiah says, "But we are all as unclean thing, and all our," listen carefully what Isaiah say, "all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as leaf, and our iniquities like wind have taken away." Yes. Dearly beloved, we need to have a fresh vision once again about our Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated on the right hand of God, high and exalted. Then we will be able to cry out as Isaiah, "I am undone. I'm useless." Indeed, my dear friends, do you know what we are called to do? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We are called to holiness. Moving on. Yes, he at the same time also saw the vision of God's grace. When Isaiah cried out, the grace of the Lord came to him. Then one of the angels flew to him with a live coal in his hand, which he has taken with tongs from the altar, and with it touched his mouth and said, "Thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Wow, this is very comforting, isn't it? When we acknowledge, when we confess, and when we sincerely seek the Lord, my dear friends, God will be merciful to us. And we are reminded here how our sins must be taken away. If not, we will not be able to face our holy God. But how could it be taken away? Oh, my dear friends, it could only be removed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who died for us, who is our Redeemer. Only the blood of Jesus and nothing else. If we want to be a child, His child, if we want to be used by the Lord, oh, we must be cleansed and we must be washed in the blood of Christ. And we should know that the primary requirement for God's service is holiness. And that means we must believe in Christ. It's not of any good works that comes from us, but in Christ alone that we are made holy. Let me just do a quick summary application before we move on to the next point. That is, God wants us to fix our eyes upon Him. And I believe this vision is to tell us to do that, to fix our eyes upon Him. Many times a lot of things block our vision of Him. We feel so secure in our jobs. We feel so secure in our home. We feel so secure with our leaders. We feel secure with our capabilities, our resources. Yes, we know God. We love Him. We trust Him. And yet, we are not really dependent upon Him. And many times, God removes our clutches. Those things that we are holding on to, perhaps we might become ill or weak, or we lose our job. Our chaos might develop. And we ask, what are we going to do? How are we going to survive? Yes, the throne is empty. Our throne is empty. Remember Uzziah, as the good king, he held many things together. And what happened now is this. We read that Ephraim and Syria, they were trying to invade into Israel. And probably Isaiah was thinking, oh, that's it, gone, finished, gone. Yes, in the face of many uncertainties, we have fears, we have anxieties. What to do? Oh, Isaiah looked to God and he received the vision from God. God is seated on the throne. The throne is not empty, but God has things in full control. And God is still on the throne and He's always there to rule the earth and to fight and to care for His elect children. So we must look beyond the circumstances that we are going through, and we need to catch a vision of His glory. Moving on, here is a call to listen to His appeal. Yeah. Isaiah found grace in God, and he heard the calling of the Lord. And we read here, he says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then say I, here am I, send me. Now, the interesting observation is this, in that the call was not particularly directed to Isaiah personally. Unlike Jesus, he called his disciples individually and directly. But here we read, whom shall I send and who will go for us? It's like a general call. What I believe it means is this. The call to follow him and to serve him is given to all of us. All of us. All of us as his people. If you are not God's children, God will not call you. But In fact, God will call you to salvation first. You must come. You must come to believe, yeah, in Jesus. But here is a specific call. Okay? And I believe this call is given to all of us. And Isaiah says, how did he respond? He says, "Here am I. Here am I. Here am I. Send my brother. Here am I. Send my sister." No. "Here am I. Send me." Me. "I'm willing to go. I'm ready." Yes, indeed. Someone who has seen his sinfulness and received the grace of God. Someone who is cleansed. And a man who has seen the vision. He was just ready to go. I'm ready. My dear brothers and sisters, God wants to use us, every one of us. Yes, we all have this calling that's from God. And we found grace in the sight of God. And we heard the voice of God through the scripture in that God has called us. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But the Bible tells us that in Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we are to pray to the Lord of harvest that he may send for more laborers into the harvest field. But then, at the same time, there must be a call. There must be a call. So what I'm saying is that if your church leaders were to approach you, I trust that you will not say, "Don't send me, send my brother, send my sister." I trust that if the church leader were to approach you, ask you to serve in any area, I'm sure they will not just approach you without observing you. Yeah. And I'm sure they will observe you before approaching you. And if that is the case, please be sensitive to God's call through God's servants. I'm so glad when I read on the Facebook recently about this friend who has got a son, and he heard the call and he left the corporate law firm and he went to study in a Bible college and he's now a pastor. Not all of us are called to be pastors or missionary or full-time church staff, but my plea with you is this: be sensitive. Let all of us be sensitive to God's call, like Isaiah, and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Okay, send me. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to declare your message." Yes, on the other hand, I believe God has called us in whatever we do. You may say, "I'm a nurse." Yes, God has called you. You are a nurse, and that is your calling. And you must be willing to say, "Yes, I am willing to go where you want me to go, to this hospital or to that hospital, or for that matter, to a hospital overseas. Or I'm a teacher, I'm willing to go. Or I'm engineer, I'm willing to go to where you place me." And that is our attitude as God's children. Moving on, Isaiah also hear the call to declare God's message. And as for Isaiah, it was a call to an unrewarding mission. Now, as for Isaiah, God has given him a special mission. We read in verse 9, Go and tell the people, "Hear ye indeed," but they will receive. No, they understand not. "Go ye indeed," they will be able to see. No, they can't see. They will perceive not. Rather, make the heart of these people fat and make their eyes, their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Something we will not be able to understand fully. But don't worry, my dear friends, not all of us are given such a calling. Nevertheless, I want us to know, it's always good to know, and it's always good to know that there are such situations where the hearts of the people are so hardened. What am I saying is this: You can be there in your office and you have been witnessing to your colleagues and they are not responding. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. But more importantly is that you know that that is your calling. Your calling is to be there. To be a witness for Christ. Though they may not be responding positively just as what God told Isaiah. These people is not going to respond to you positively. You know, it's going to be an unrewarding mission. But however, let's be sure that our labors will never be in vain. We will never be in vain. Okay, remember that. We read of the many pioneer missionaries who were sent into foreign lands, remote places, villages and towns, and they apparently don't seem to see any results, but they faithfully continue their calling. As the Apostle Paul, remember what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but who give the increase? God give the increase, not you. God is the one who will give the increase. You are there to plant the gospel seed. You are there to, as it were, to preach. But God is the one who will do the calling. But the pioneers who have laid all the groundwork, remember that God will definitely reward the work that they're doing. Just as God's eyes is upon the sparrow, God's eyes is upon all the angels, and God has directed and led prophet Isaiah, God's eye will also be there to lead each one of us, to guide us in whatever we do. So what I'm trying to say is that let none of us feel that we are a nobody. Indeed, we must be a nobody before God make us somebody to do His will. I'm not saying that God will go, is going to call us to India. God is going to call us to Indonesia. No, I mean, but if the Lord is so, call us, we must be willing to go. And the call is to listen to His appeal. And Isaiah found not only grace in God, he heard the calling. And yes, as we have Mary mentioned, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, here am I, send me, Lord. Yes, we are to preach the word. That is, be in season and out of season. And to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I have a good number of friends, pastor friends. They have gone home to be with the Lord. In fact, yesterday night, I just received a call from the daughter of my friend. He suffered a heart attack and then he passed away. And the family member asked me to help arrange for the funeral. He was a friend of mine who studied together in the Bible College. Although he was doing pastoral work as well as doing legal work. But I know that he has been faithfully serving the Lord, but in different ways. And he's gone. And I perhaps like to share with you also that the three founding pastors of the Bible Presbyterian movement, they have gone to be with the Lord. So what does it mean? What does it mean? What I'm trying to tell us is we need new blood. We need young people who will be willing to come forward to serve Him. We need more pastors, we need more missionaries, we need more missional professionals. Yes, understandably, we are called to serve the Lord, whether to be a teacher, an engineer, a doctor, or factory worker, even a farmer. Yes, we are called to serve the Lord. However, we must also recognize the special call for some to be evangelists, to be pastors, to shepherd God's flock. And I trust that you will be willing to step forward when the Lord were to call you for a special task, to proclaim the gospel and to serve the Lord. remember there's this general call. What's this general call? The general call is that we all should be good witnesses for Christ. And perhaps you may say, well, now cannot go anywhere. COVID-19 situation. Can we still go and preach the gospel? Can we still go and witness for Christ? Answer is yes, through digital means. Yeah. Use the Facebook if you have one. Share about your faith. Share about what Christ has done for you. And use WhatsApp. Use blog posts. These are the tools that God has given to us that we can employ, that we can use. Yeah. And more importantly is to know that we have a story, a wonderful story to tell to the nation. A story of peace and of light, a story of hope. And that is what we must continue to do and to occupy ourselves till the Lord calls us. And don't wait until it's too late. Let us continue to stay active and to serve the Lord together. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, grant us ears to hear your call. Be it the call to repentance, the call to serve, the call to forsake, the call to sacrifice, the call to give. Grant us a sensitive ear and grant to us a responsive heart to your call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.